Well, that's it. I don't know if all yours got into a bag, but there's probably still some around our house. That's it. It's over till another year, right? It's a day after Christmas. Many celebrated the birth of the Christ yesterday, or this whole season. And let me just make another statement on that. Whether it was on the 25th, and there's actually some evidence of early Christians thinking it could either be the 25th or the 6th of January, or a little bit later on in the year, that's not important. What's important and what we've done is that we have celebrated the Messiah and the Messiah coming. And I think sometimes we can lose that in, well, did it happen here or there or whenever it happened? And we lose the significance of what happened, what Doug and I have talked about and Brandon over the last few weeks. I listened to, well, I listened to several people that smarter than me, which doesn't take very many people, but Rick Astley is a fellow preacher in Fort Worth, and he had something it was a personal story, so I have it here. So if you listen to Rick's personal story about the Messiah, it plays into what we're talking about today, because we'll just say the 25th for scenario's sake. That's gone. Now what? Christmas morning or Christmas day is gone. I'm not talking about the presents, but talking about the Messiah coming has come and gone. And now for the people that lived in that time, the significance wouldn't be felt for a while. We look back on it looking differently, but that day has gone. Now what? What was the significance and so important about that? And what does that cause us to do? And what does it cause us to think? Why was it so important for him, for the Messiah, for God himself to come down and live with us? Watch this story.
Nabil Qureshi, raised Muslim, became a Christian apologist. Wrote about visiting with a friend named Sahar, and she was making the typical Muslim objections to the whole notion of God put on flesh. She said, God coming through a birth canal? God having to go to the bathroom? This is beneath the dignity of God. Nabil said, Sahar, if you were going to a very fancy party or ceremony and dressed in your finest clothes, and on the way you saw your daughter drowning in a pool of mud, would you go and save her or stay away so you could keep your precious clothes spotless? I would go and save my daughter, he pushed in. Would you send somebody else to do it or would you go yourself? I would go myself, he said, Sahar, if you would lay aside your dignity to be a mother saving her child, then why couldn't the God of heaven lay aside his majesty to be a father saving his children? And it was that thought that started her on a journey that led her to faith in Jesus. You see, most religions depict God as fixed. God doesn't move. You move. You do this or you don't do that, and here's the rules you keep, and maybe you can reach God. The Christian faith says God is not fixed. God's on the move to reach us. And we couldn't move into his neighborhood, so he moved into ours. Remember, at Christmas, we are not celebrating the start of Jesus. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. We're celebrating the scandalous idea that there was a time in history where God put on flesh.
John would write this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. How significant is that moment when God became flesh? How important is that to us? And that has happened a long time ago, but what does it call for us to do? I think the birth of Jesus Christ has significant impact on us as followers and disciples. Now, if you're not following Jesus, it means very little to you. Well, it means a lot because it means you have opportunity and hope to come to Him. But for those who are followers, the birth of Jesus Christ means we have some choices to make. And let us not go through this season without examining our own selves and making the choices that we need to make. We have a choice to make. Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow the world? God becoming flesh demands that we make that choice. We can't just ride the fence. I think all too often we, as followers, ride a fence between the world and things I like in the world. Well, I want to follow Him and I want to worship Him and I want my speech to be great, but yet I'm gonna watch this episode or this series of episodes. There's a series I won't mention because if you watch it, you'll feel ashamed and hang your head and everybody will know that you watch it, but they can't stop saying the F word. It's like every sentence it has it in it. And so we want to enjoy and indulge ourselves in the world. And then sing, we praise Thee, O God. And there's this teetering between the world and God. And what the birth of Christ demands that we do is we make a choice between the world and God. And too often we as disciples live in the world and of the world, and we also try to live of God. The writer was told to write in Revelation in chapter 3, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write. So write this down. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. Now listen, you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's a word for vomit there. I mean, that's a word for you got something in you that's so irritating. You remember when that happens, and hopefully it might have happened to some of you already this year and might still happen. That word for, he wanted to vomit them out of his mouth. He didn't want any part to do with them. And what happens is warm water, hot water comes from one area in Laodicea, and cold water comes from a different area, and they meet and they feed into Laodicea. And so what the writer is saying, what the Amen is saying, is you're just like the people where you live. It's not that God wants us to be cold, okay? It's not that God wants us to do nothing. But what He's saying here is you can't live in the world and be in Me. What the birth of the Messiah asks us to do is to choose between the world. Are you living for God or are you living for Me? The word sanctified, you know, we're sanctified as His people. That's the word is being separated. You're set apart for a purpose. God has never said it's okay to be part of the world. It's a struggle, is it not? It is, because there are things that our flesh likes, things that our flesh desires. We begin to laugh at things that the world laughs at. We begin to go the direction of the world. Can I say for a moment, can we get rid of this language of things like, let's go, Brandon? Did he say that in church? I did. Disciples, followers of Jesus, and if you don't know what that is, I'll tell you later, but it doesn't belong. One or the other. We've got to choose. Can we get rid of the language of the world to follow the Messiah that came to be with us, that stripped Himself of dignity, became one of us? God is serious about those who will follow Him. Luke will write in his gospel, says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Are you willing to follow? Are you ready? Not going to be an easy trip. I think discipleship is too easy sometimes. I think our following sometimes is too easy. He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." What is he saying? He's saying it's all in or nothing. I say, "Preacher, that's really harsh," because it's hard to live in this world, right? It's hard to live, especially in the social media world. It's difficult to grab a hold and to maintain our Christianity sometimes. But God said it's all or none. That's Jesus speaking. You're either mine or you're not. You either follow me or you don't. There's a choice we have to make. And will we choose Jesus? Luke would also write in chapter 14 of his gospel, the large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And he turned to them and said, "If anyone does not hate his father or mother, wife or children, brothers or sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you builds a tower. Will you not first sit down to estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay a foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. They'll say this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king went out to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. It's kind of harsh language, isn't it? We have a choice to make. So maybe this morning in worship, as we are gathered together, the Holy Spirit is in our presence, maybe it's time for you to make a choice. Maybe it's time for all of us to choose. Am I going to follow him? Am I giving up everything to follow him? Will I give up the way of life I had? Will I give up the things I said? Will I give up the things I do? Will I give up the things I watch? You see, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us demands that we answer that question. We have a choice to make. We have a mission to follow. God has never called us to be idle. Jesus, talking to his disciples at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, would say this, "And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So if you doubt, listen, you're not any different than the disciples and the followers that had followed Jesus for so long. But then he said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth was given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you even to the end of the age." What did he want his disciples to do? To make other disciples. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. We have an espresso machine at home that is not making good espresso. We're already looking for another one because I will not keep an espresso machine that refuses to make espresso. Does that make sense? It does. You send a car that doesn't work and you can't fix it. You send it to the junkyard because it doesn't do what it's designed to do. Well, disciples, fellow followers, were designed to tell others about Jesus. Remember Peter, the one who denied the Messiah? I mean, the one who, he said he would, "Oh, no, I wouldn't. I'll," you know, he wouldn't. He cut off, was it Malchus, his ear, you know, in the garden. And he was gung-ho, but then he denied him. And then this is the same period, Peter, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4. When they were saying, "Listen, you got to shut up. Can't be preaching in this guy's name anymore. Can't be talking about Jesus. Can't be holding Bible studies. You can't be holding small groups. You can't be holding anything you're doing about Jesus. You just got to stop." So when they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus, listen to what Peter says. This is the one who denied him, but now is empowered by the Holy Spirit. "But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him?'" What's right? He sent him before the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. They don't know if they're going to die after this statement or not. You choose which is right, to listen to him or listen to you. That's your choice. But listen, guys, as for us, we cannot help about what we have seen and heard. I can't help it. I've got to tell somebody about Jesus. I think we failed at this a lot. I'll go through a week, 2 weeks, without really telling somebody about Jesus. Not counting the sermons or the Bible classes or what we talk about in the office here. Who are you telling about Jesus? Why are we so scared to do that? I don't know how many people. I went to Lubbock this week, and I paid, you guys from Lubbock, you're so blessed. I paid $2.58 for gas. You know, when we find something on sale, we tell people. Guess what? Because we like that. It's good news. We want to share that with people so they can go get, don't drive to Lubbock to get gas. My papa would fill up all his cans and come back. He would waste gas doing it. Don't do it. But we tell people good news. Why not Jesus? The one who saved our souls. Why not? We don't understand. It's hard. It's not. It's really not. If you love it, you love him, and you love his calling, it's not that hard. Can I pick on you, Donna? I wasn't going to, but the person I was going to pick on isn't here. Donna and Mark can encounter somebody whose house burned down and they lost everything. Far greater than I can. Donna can say, listen, you know what? It's been a little bit over a year now. And I was miserable. And it hurt. I don't know what Donna would say. Lost everything. And she can go through the things that she lost. But you know what I did? You know how God showed up? And you know the story that Mark told and that he stood up in front of us and told. He can tell that same story about how what the church did and what God did and how they saw God through all of this tragedy. Well, guess what they just did? They just shared Jesus with somebody. It's not about a sermon. Well, you're talking to others about Jesus. It's about taking your life and sharing with somebody else. My children can talk about going from one school to a different school and the struggle between having to learn new friends. And if they have somebody or they encounter somebody who has to do the same thing, they can say, listen, this is what happened to me and this is how I went through it. And these are the prayers that I prayed. Guess what? They just shared Jesus. It's not that hard. If you love Jesus, you'll do what he asked us to do. We have a choice. We have a mission, and we have a life to live. Quality of life for the disciples is different. Losing Mike this week has, without a doubt, hit very hard. Not as much for his close family, his family here, but church family as well. I talked about it recently. You don't have to look too far to find somebody or hurt or evil in this world, how the world is broken. Jesus would say this, recorded in John. Very truly I tell you, the gate for the sheep, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. In the middle of a world that struggles, those who follow Jesus will find good things, will find the things that they need, the things that they so desperately desire and need for their life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said this, though, I've come that you may have life and may have it to the full. Can you imagine this life without Jesus? Honestly, can you imagine living life without the Messiah who came to be like us? That actual language in there is a quality of life not fullness in years. It changes our relationships with each other. Paul would say that in your relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. He would say who Jesus being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So some of your version will say something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So when you encounter somebody, you be like Jesus, who humbled himself, even though he, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, if driving down the road, if we didn't cut somebody off because they cut us off because we're trying to be like Jesus, what a better world it would be. Some of you are grinning because you know you do just like me. Some of your siblings, brothers and sisters, like real siblings, what if you treated each other like Jesus treated us? About our relationships with our spouses, with our neighbors, with the brothers and sisters in Christ, the people at the grocery store. You see, the birth of the Messiah changes the life that we live because what he did changes who we are. Got a choice to make. You have a mission to follow. You have a life to live. Paul, in addressing Timothy in his life, would say this, 2 Timothy. For this reason, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, Timothy, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now listen to this. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. But it is now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have a choice to make of the world or of God. We have a mission to follow, to tell others about Jesus. We have a life to live. You can live it because of him. Everything we do in church, everything we do in our walk, whether it's at home or at work or the grocery store or driving down the road, everything we're able to do and live in life is because of him, not because of us. And sometimes we think, well, preacher, I can't do that. Look at me and look what I've done. God knows what you've done. And the birth of Jesus Christ, him becoming flesh and living and dying and raised on the third day gives us life. Amen? Wake up if you're not awake. You have life because of him, not because of you. You can preach about him. You can share about him, not because of you, but because of him. You can live your mission. You can make the choices in life. You understand it's hard. It is difficult, but he made it possible through his power and his resurrection. So what is it this morning? What will you choose? A lot of people this week will take little baby Jesuses and they'll put them back in the container so they don't get broke till next year. And they'll bring them out this time next year. Or if you're strange, you'll bring them out in October or something. My challenge to us is don't put him in a box, okay? Don't put him in a box, but we follow him every day of the year. That's a challenge. What will you do with Jesus? You can't sit on the sidelines. He doesn't allow that. He wants us to make a choice. Is it always easy? Absolutely not. but neither was him coming to live among us. And that's exactly what happened. So maybe today you start to make that choice. Maybe it happens this week. Maybe you spend some time in prayer to God. Maybe you ask God, God, how do I do this? Give me the strength to do this. Spend some time in prayer with yourself or with your family. How do we do this, and how do we become better? I was challenged this week, and we sat around our table, and I challenged my family with what I was challenged with this week. God, what are you calling us to do? Pray that prayer this week and decide and choose on Jesus. If you need help praying, or maybe you've come this morning and you're broken, I'm going to step in the back like I've come accustomed to doing. And if you need somebody to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray with you, pray over you. Ask somebody next to you to pray while we sing. But today, begin to make that choice in Jesus Christ and praise God for what he will do in and through us here in this community. Let's stand and sing.